I've been reading about Elijah lately, and I love so many things about Elijah. This morning, I'd like to speak on Siri, set a reminder for my heart. This time, it's personal. There are going to be times in your life when you speak God's truth and you feel like things have dried up around you. There have been times that he's preached through the years. There have been times, I'm sure, that he's interceded through the years. There's times that he has stood and sometimes felt alone, sometimes when it's felt dry around. As a Christian, when God puts something on your heart, when you speak his words, it may feel like it's dry. You may feel sometimes like it's an MMA cage match, your faith. You may feel like it's gloves off at times when it comes to spiritual matters. There are going to be seasons when the praise that you pour out goes against the grain. I wanted to speak this morning out of 1 Kings chapter 17. It is a passage that is familiar to all of us. Story takes place during a time when Elijah had gone to the king, and Elijah had spoken the word of the Lord. And what Elijah spoke was that there would be no rain or dew that would fall for the next few years unless it was commanded. A little backstory right here. The people had turned their backs on God. They'd begun worshiping the god Baal. The god Baal during that time was known as the god of the storm, the god of the rain, the god of dew. And so what was happening here was God was setting the story up. And God was saying, the one that you've turned your back on me for is powerless. When I give the word, it shuts off. When Elijah went and Elijah gave the word, here's the thing. It didn't rain on Elijah. Elijah was in the midst of the people. God didn't give him a personal cloud over his head to provide rain. I say it because God is going to put you in positions where you are to speak the truth, and your voice is going to shake, and you're going to be unsure, but you speak that truth. God's going to put you in places that when you speak that truth, that later on you're going to second-guess yourself, maybe thinking, but God, but God. See, God's stories are written differently than the stories that we're used to. When we speak God's words, they apply to us as much as they do to those around us. See, God's going to provide. My God is a provider. But it might take us a minute to appreciate the provision. It might be clearer in hindsight the provision that God has given. If I was to ask you, would you like McDonald's? You'd say, sure. In your mind, you're thinking we would go hop in the Jeep and I would drive you through the drive-thru and order you something. But what if your provision of McDonald's came in the way of crows dropping you half-eaten chicken McNuggets like they did for Elijah? Still McDonald's. Sometimes provision doesn't look like your preference. Sometimes the provision in your life may not look like the preference that you had, but God is using whatever situation that is to teach you a lesson, to position you for something that is greater. We are a blessed church. As I'm standing here today, I'm thinking, how blessed are we? How blessed are we in a thousand ways? How blessed are we that we can worship together? How blessed are we that we do not fear as others fear in other parts of the world when they're meeting in the missionaries that were here from China talked about having to throw fake birthday parties, baptizing people in bathtubs, about wondering if everyone in your church was really there for church or if they were a government plant for you to be executed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Do we live like that? Have I told my face this morning how blessed I am? When I got up, was I thinking about all the things that were wrong or am I thinking about the blessing? First Kings chapter 18. Elijah had given the word. 3.5 years passed and no rain had fallen. After that, God spoke to Elijah And he said, go, present yourself to Ahab, who is the king, and I will send rain on the earth. God said to Elijah, go. What I think God was saying to Elijah was, meet me at go. The things that God's whispering into your heart, the things that we fear growing in, God is saying, step into that. Step into that. Without the whole game plan, step into that, and I will meet you there. With the fear that you feel right now, step into that, and I will meet you there. How would you like to have been the guy that pretty much shut off the faucet of heaven for 3.5 years, and God tells you that? During the time that Elijah was away, Elijah obeyed God's voice, and great things happened, but the time had come. See, the story here, go and meet Ahab, and I will send rain soon. That's the ouch of and. See, with faith, there's an ouch of and. Because how many ands are in my life? How many ands are in your life? And just like my butt is not your butt, my ands are not your ands. Uh-huh. The ands in your life that God has laid out, are we saying God is dependent on me doing things? No, but how rich the God story is when I step into those places that God tells me to step into and the ands follow. And so, Elijah obeys. And on his way to Ahab, he runs into Obadiah, who is a right-hand man. And Obadiah was not crazy at all about this idea of reuniting the king and Elijah. He feared for his own life. And Elijah makes a statement, and he says, as surely as the Lord all-powerful lives, whom I serve, I will be seen by Ahab today. See, your words reflect the God that you serve. If you serve worry, your words are going to reflect it. If you serve anger, your words are going to be seasoned with that anger. If you serve doubt, it's going to feel doubtful, everything that comes out of your mouth. But when God tells you to go, ignore the commentary. See, this is about and not about but. He said, I will stand before that king today. I will be in that king's presence, even when it makes no sense to others. Do not let anything keep you from the presence of the king. Do not let anything keep you from the presence of the king. If it is a naysayer, you don't need to listen to that. When God says today, it's today. Enemy, you're going to see me standing beside the king. That's the beauty, and that's what I love sometimes when I'm just driving in my car and I'm praying. I'm thinking, devil, you can hear this too. So tune in. Tune in. Tune in. I'll tap into that in a minute. Elijah and Ahab, they engage in this just-the-facts conversation, pretty much some name-calling, and this is how it's going to be. And then Elijah, who in terms of authority isn't supposed to be giving orders, he sets the terms for a showdown. How does this work? He even handpicks the spectators that he wants to come there and the participants. He said, I want the ones who sit at Queen Jezebel's table, specifically. I can just imagine, I even wrote out name tags. You go pass them out. I want them there. This is a man who is cruising for a bruising, as the world would think, just invite a bunch of people. And God's going to show up. When it's a God thing, it doesn't require a man's stamp of approval. See, Elijah, he was not probably the most respected at that time. He was hated. But he can set the terms because God put that there. The Bible gives very little backstory on this Elijah guy. They say where he comes from in the Bible. But very little else, and I love that. That's something that I love about Elijah, because there's a little bit of Elijah in every one of us. See, the backstory, it's not about then, it's about now. And when he showed up on the scene, that's how important it was for the now. We don't know much about the guy's past, because when prophets were first introduced in the Bible, usually their lineage was introduced. He couldn't have come at a better time. I'm going to share something with you. The future of CLC, when I pray and I'm in my car, this is what it sounds like. I have said it to some of you, and I've spoken it in boldness. We speak with faith and we speak with conviction. And I am praying that God, through his mighty power, would begin to send increase to this place. And not just increase, but when I speak it, I want it from the devil. I don't just want blessing. I want the stinking devil to give it back. And the places that we will go and the blessing that will flow from this place, the devil will be put on notice that he will no longer torment. But he's going to be the contributor. When I drive, that's what I pray. When I see where we can go, that's what I pray. When I see the faces that'll be in this house, you know what? The words that I see before me are welcome home. Oh, there have been times of scattering. It's a time of gathering, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. As surely as I stand here, it's going to happen. Do you have Elijah faith to speak to those things? Do you say it's going to happen, and it's going to start happening now? It's with that boldness that things will begin to happen in the spiritual realm. See, with Jezebel's crew, there are times that there are going to be haters. There are going to be times that there's going to be opposition. But God's going to do a new thing. And God's going to turn hearts. And God, see, when Elijah speaks to the people in verse 21, he said, how long are you going to falter between two opinions? Right. Not deciding is deciding. Not deciding is deciding. Spiritually, where you are right now, if you are just riding some type of fence, you've made a decision. There is no simple holding ground here. We are on the offensive, or we are losing ground. How long will you not decide between the two choices? This reminds me of my kids every time that we go to McDonald's and I ask them what they want to drink. They act like it's brand new, this whole experience. He says, if the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is a true God, follow him. That's tough talk. Insert God replacement here. I say it to myself and I say it to every one of us. What things in our life are keeping us out of the Word? What things in our life are keeping us out of a prayer closet? What things in our life are keeping us from gathering with God's people? What things are those? How long will you falter? Because you're making decision when you do those things. Has something torn down the altar in your life? Do you feel like the stones of the foundation of what makes you have been toppled? They've been scattered? See, you have a choice to make, and I have a choice to make, that if this is real, we live it like it's real. If the things on the other side are real, then by all means, quit riding the fence. If the God that we serve is a consuming fire, then let him burn. Let him burn everything. One of two outcomes will happen when you throw it in the fire. It'll either burn up or it's going to be changed forever. Those are the two possible outcomes. Proceed with caution at this point. Are we scared? Does fear motivate our walk? Because see, there was a time in Elijah's life when he feared being killed. And what's funny is that man never saw death. The thing that he feared, he never even saw when he was carried up to fire in a whirlwind. God had other plans. God always has other plans. When we think we've got it lined up, God has a plan. God's will set the terms. See, in this contest, Elijah was outnumbered 850-1, at least. Elijah is not the most educated here, the most eloquent, the best smelling, and definitely not the most popular, but the words he speaks sets God's terms because truth plus boldness equals God's plan in action. It is there in the moments when you see pieces, but not the outcomes. When you see the pieces, but not the outcomes. Elijah had this much of the plan going on. But with boldness, he approached it. In your heart and in your mind, God is setting up the showdown. For some of you, he is placing the pieces before you literally one by one. And this is not a drill. His presence is among the pieces. His presence is among the pieces. If the things that you're going to use to build are pieces of dreams that have been wrecked in your mind, of things that have gone the wrong way, God is going to use pieces to build something new, and he's going to move. He is going to move. Elijah had this God plan, and God had a list of the pieces. When all you have is all you have, you let God. When all you have is all you have, you let God. All the people agreed that Elijah's plan was a good idea. Now, when does that happen? What I am speaking over this church is favor. Favor. That person who can't stand you, I'm speaking favor. I am speaking favor with that boss. I am speaking favor with that neighbor, with that family member, whomever it may be. That when you begin to flow in God, that people are going to be like, yeah, that's a good idea. That's how God works. See, in Isaiah 43, as Elijah does this, here's what the pieces were about. In Isaiah 43, this is what the Lord says. That's verse 16. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. He drew out chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again. Extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Verse 18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. God says, I want to take you back to those times. But I don't want you to build there. I don't want you to camp there. He says that in a way because we cannot go forward at times when we're like, but, because God's saying all these things that were things, either hurtful things or even great things were things, but the things I'm going to do are going to eclipse those things, and I need you to walk forward in those. I need you to do those things. And so here, dwell means to live in a specified place. And spiritually, have you ever met someone who is just like, and they go no farther? Either because that was the jubilee time for them or it was the hurtful time for them. And they're just like, is it? I don't trust church people. Or if things could be like, no. God is saying, don't dwell there. And so Elijah says, I am the only prophet of God here, but there are 450 prophets of Baal. Bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal choose one bull and cut it into pieces. Then let them put the meat on the wood, but they're not to set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull. I will put meat on the wood, but not setting fire to it. You, the prophets of Baal, pray to your God, and I'll pray to my God. The God who answers by setting fire to his wood is the true God. Notice he said, I'm the only one here. That can be said in many ways. Have you ever felt like I'm the only one? Have you ever felt like in a place of faith that you're the only one? The words of life you speak, everyone else is like, get real. Yeah, but, do you remember? Sometimes you'll feel like you're the only one, but how is it coming out? I'm the only one. See, Elijah was in a place where he's like, that's cool, I'm the only one. Not, just me, Elijah. Alone isn't a sentence, it's a setup. It's a setup. It's not a sentence. It's not because this place you're in that God is angry. He's like, you. No, it's a setup for the greatness that's going to follow. Two things right here. There's a number and there's parentheses. The number is 12. It says, Elijah rebuilt the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one stone for each of the 12 tribes, the number of Jacob's sons. The Lord changed Jacob's name to Israel, in parentheses. Elijah used these stones to rebuild the altar in honor of the Lord. He dug a ditch around the altar that was big enough to hold about 13 quarts of seed. When you're in the middle of a challenge, start digging. When you're in the middle of something challenging, start digging, because God's going to do something. God's going to do something foundational in your life. I love here how the ditch is described in measurements that are related to seed. because no seed would touch this ditch. See, because again, you're looking at it in one way, but God's going to do something different. The Baal worshipers could probably relate to the seed because their grain god who sent the farm crops and all the things they were used to are like, yeah, Baal, it's about Baal. It wasn't about Baal. It was not about Baal that day. See, when you're in a spot, you need to just add water. You need to just add living water to the things when you're in this spot. Even when you're in the middle of the drought, you pour it out again and again and again. And people are going to stare in disbelief. Because here's the thing, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years, but Elijah calls for pitchers of water to be poured on the sacrifice. How dumb was that to them? How scarce was water? Do it again. Do it again. And the water fills the ditch. See, during a time of drought, spiritually, are you going to be sacrificial? Are you going to be sacrificial, or are you going to try to conserve? Because you can keep the water in the pitchers, or you can pour it out before God and see what he does. Are you going to conserve? See, doubt sees the rut, but faith sees a reservoir. Doubt sees the rut in the ground and says, what are you going to do with that? But faith sees a reservoir that can be filled up. I have to believe, and this is the truth, that that water that was poured out belonged to Elijah. Why do I think that? Because during a drought, nobody's given up 12 pitchers of water to some crazy guy that's going 850 to 1 on top of a mountain. What we sacrifice will saturate the ground, and it's going to set the stage. If it's not sacrificial, it doesn't saturate. If it is not sacrificial, it will not saturate. A Dixie cup full of praise isn't a praise sacrifice. It just isn't. And we come in here sometimes, and it's like the Dixie cup full of praise, like, God, I poured it out. That's not filling a rut. That's not filling a rut. That feeling that we had right before worship ended, we need to be there. We need to be there at 10:31. We need to be there throughout. We need to be pouring out before God. We need to be saturating this place. See, the suspense is in the setup. Before the challenge, the opposition was in the audience, but you need to be okay with that. When the opposition's in the audience, you need to be okay, because God's plans are bigger than that. See, with Pastor Nip, all these things, like when we sit in our meetings, we plan and we do these things and we look ahead. We thought that we were going to plant seed. We thought this was about planting seed, but all the time, it was getting ready for God to pour down fire into the sacrifice of the tears that have been poured into this place, of the hurt that's been poured out at these altars, of the people who have come to experience new life in this place. The fire was about to fall. Here's what I wanted to tell you. I'm going to close on this. The number of stones that were used, the fact that stones were used at all. Listen to this from Joshua 4:3, and understand that future showdowns are going to take place on altars built from the things that God has placed under your feet through his mighty power. In Joshua 4:3, it says, and tell them, the priests, to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. God had said to Moses in Exodus, Moses, write down everything the Lord has said. He got up early the next morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and he set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. See, are you writing it down? Are you writing down those blessings and those things that God is doing? Because there's going to come times you need to read it and you need to remind your heart. This is what God did. This is what God did. This is the word that was spoken. And I don't care if that word is 12 months old. That's going to come to pass. I do not care if it's said that my loved one is going to be saved and I haven't seen any results. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Here's the thing with those stones. I'm reminded of one thing, and it was in the parentheses. It said, and God changed his name to Israel. Why would that be in there? It would be in there for a fact of a reminder that every stone that you pick up when you go to rebuild that altar before these people is something that I have helped place under your feet. It's something as a reminder of someone whose life was changed by the power of God. And with Israel, I am reminded of times when throughout the fight, when he saw angels ascending and descending and promises were made, when he wrestled with an angel, a man, until daybreak. God's promises are true. And as Elijah stood there, and I'm sure he's thinking, what am I getting myself into? He's stacking those stones. And there's the parentheses. God has given you a new name. God is the one who tells you how it's going to go down. God is the one, even though no one knows anything about you or where you came from, that is going to rewrite this story. See, because as he's stacking those stones, I'm sure he's thinking about Jacob wrestling that angel. And the way the story comes up is that Jacob had sent everything across ahead of him to meet his brother that he thought was going to kill him. And he was alone, and he wrestled with this angel who came after him. But as the night wore on, he didn't let go of the angel. He fought to get his blessing. And as Elijah is stacking those stones, can't you just see it? 1, 2, 3. And as it's coming up to 12, God, there's been fights, but you've seen. There have been painful times, but you've seen. And listen to this verse about Jacob. It says, the angel, the man said to Jacob, after he had to put his hip out because he was fighting, he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with humans and you've overcome. Another version says, and he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. In other words, I've seen the spirit of a fighter in you. I have seen the spirit of a fighter in you. I have witnessed the times that you have gone through. I have witnessed the pain, the hurt, the doubt, the uncertainty. And I have seen you stand strong. I've seen you take the best hits that the devil can throw. And I've seen you get back up. I've heard the people in the crowd say, stay down. Please stay down. And I've seen you get back up. Those are the things that God has placed within this body. And after this, Elijah utters, from my Bible when I counted it, a 58-word prayer. And after he uttered that 58-word prayer, the fire of God descended and it consumed every single thing. It consumed that altar. It consumed those things. What God has placed under your feet, you need to begin to build with. You need to begin to build with today. There is power in prayer. The Bible in James said Elijah was just an ordinary man, but he prayed. But he prayed. Through prayer this morning, I'm going to ask the prayer elders to come up if you would. If you need someone in your corner, if you will, the Mickey to your Rocky, people are going to come up right now and they're going to be praying. If there is something that you need to remind the devil that's under my feet, come up. Come up. I'd asked Alan to close this out with one thing, and it's an old one and I love it. It's, I went to the enemy's camp. And I took back what he stole from me. Oh, man, I love that one. Oh, I love that one. And as they play that, here's what I want you to do. Make your list. Devil, enough. Devil, no more. Devil, I may feel outnumbered by the way that it looks, but alone isn't a sentence. I declare in my life, I declare in the lives of others the things that God is going to do. And I want you to speak it with boldness. I not only speak it with boldness, I want you to believe it. That would be even better. And then if you want someone to agree with you, they're ready to roll. They are ready to roll. I'm going to pray. Just roll with it, Al. God, whomever it is, you bring them down. You bring them down. Now, who's bold enough to tell that devil, I'm taking it back? God's given me the deed.